Initialize sequence now.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Video Freaks.
Hello, freaks.
Russian roulette is bareback sex with six chicks and one of them has AIDS.
Ooh, Hustler magazine. I finally get to see what a vagina looks like. Oh God! Oh my God!
Don't have to do any work. Walk in and sit down. You call yourself stupid for 2 hours.
And any guest you can get on this show, you should consider a special guest.
I'm a horrible fucking human being. I'm seriously going to hell.
Brian, why does everything you touch turn to garbage?
We're completely just fucking self-destructing. Welcome to the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv. Brian and Tony along with you for another week of fun and goodness for your ear holes.
What's up, everybody?
Got a great show tonight. The very funny Mark Norman stopped by, and we're going to talk to him. And the creator of the Punani Poets, Ms. Jessica Holter, will be on in the second half of the show. Tell us all about what the Punani Poets are. So, great show for you. How was your week, pal? Good?
It's good.
Good.
Yeah, Valentine's Day and all that shit, yeah.
Ugh, we'll get into that in a minute. if you want to keep up with us on social media, you can do that. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRadioFreaks. Or if you happen to be one of the Twitter-type people, you can follow us on Twitter, @TheRadioFreaks on Twitter, and @TrashCanLives, @WoodFloorLiquor. Is all of our informations.
Yes, and, please do. Getting those followers up. Getting those followers up.
And I don't know if you've been paying attention. They are going up, which I'm happy about.
Yeah.
And @Bastardist, I guess.
Yes, @Bastardist is my new show coming soon.
Not to, I guess I'll quote Dr. Steve here, because Dr. Steve usually says that. He quotes the great Opie Hughes when referring to his rule about Twitter handles and their ease of figuring out. Does that fit within the realm of figuring that out fairly easily, do you think?
I think so, yeah. I think I'm pretty happy with this. It's one that I'm proud of.
I don't know if... I just feel like people misspell bastard a lot.
Well, they're stupid, and I don't want them listening to my show.
That is true. They are stupid. I just don't understand, especially in this day and age where people can spell check anything right from their phone, how people still misspell shit.
And I've heard, oh, was it a copy of Menemist or what's the Nerdist? No. It's kind of a name
exactly
we came up with.
Is.
And then, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense.
So. Speaking of Valentine's Day. We have some sponsors that we need to take care of.
You indeed.
First up, Dallas Novelty, where sex is for everybody. If you fucked up, didn't get your Valentine anything, you probably need some sex toys, at least for yourself, maybe a fleshlight, because you're probably not getting it from your girlfriend.
Yes.
Or your wife.
No.
And a great place to get it is DallasNovelty.com. You can save 15% off your entire order by entering code word FREAKS, FREAKS, at checkout. So go check that out. And if your girl went and saw 50 Shades Darker the other night and her interest for some rough sex is renewed, perhaps she's looking to get tied up or whatever.
Yes, you can, I'm sorry. And if you're just looking to tie her up and leave her in the room so you can finally go watch TV.
Nice. You can do that by going to getting some restraints from DallasNovelty.com. They have all sorts of BDSM stuff, so go check them out. DallasNovelty.com. Enter code word FREAKS at checkout and get 15% off everything in the store. Plus, If you order $50 worth of merchandise from them, you also get the free VIP shipping. So check that out.
Yes, good friends of the show.
DallasNovelty.com.
I said we'd love them.
Yes, we do. TheRoadCode.com, car shopping simplified, an online vehicle marketplace with an emphasis on quality used cars. Go check them out, TheRoadCode.com. It's a great place to get a used car. It's kind of like Craigslist on steroids, except there's no people that'll murder you there. So, anyway.
We don't know that for sure.
We don't know that for sure. Yeah. A little disclaimer, I guess, there, but
yeah,
we presume. So yes. How was your Valentine's Day?
Good? It was good. It was low-key. I don't care.
My wife sent me a meme last night, and it's going to sound stupid, but it really does describe our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And really kind of, I think, probably your relationship, too, at this point. And it's that it says, we exchanged cards. My husband and I exchanged cards, and then we put them back on the rack.
Yeah, no, that's perfect.
Because... it's why at this point, just why?
If you really go all out, all the people on social media who go all out and they post all this stuff about how, oh, my husband did this, my girlfriend deserves that. No, stop trying to get attention. It's a horseshit.
Now,
my argument isn't even, oh, it's a commercialized holiday, and it's just not necessary.
I will say
it was cool when I was 17.
Well, then you're trying to impress a girl.
Yeah, you're trying to get laid.
Right. You're least likely to impress a girl later on in life. Not that you should stop impressing girls, but when you're finally with a girl, I think there should be some leniency there. Not that you need to ignore them. You certainly don't ignore them at all. But, I mean, every day should be special, not just Valentine's Day.
I didn't do flowers. We made chocolate-covered strawberries, whatever. I made sushi, which I'm really good at home. And then I said, hey, anytime you want today, you can get a massage as long as you want. That's it. No teddy bears, no chocolate. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
From you, the massage?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or did you send her down to Planet Fitness and with the black card and tell her, here, have at it?
No, I sent her down to the Yankee Cranky down the street. Here you go. I talked to one of those Asians. That'll be more fun. She'll have a better conversation than I am.
Go down and check out Soon Yi. Tell her I sent you. She'll take good care of you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Jesus.
I can't do a very good Asian accent, but...
Oh, happy Valentine's Day. Anyway, sounds racist of me,
it's
too.
It's just nonsense. Why? For what? What are you going to get? You're trying to get in her good graces?
Who?
Anybody out there. Like, is that the holiday for that? That's what it seems like.
It seems like there's guys that... I don't know why the women insist on it, too, because it's usually, like, for women. It's not for guys.
I don't want anything.
It's not a holiday for guys.
My perfect Valentine's Day would be just leave me alone all day.
Well, that's kind of shitty.
Why?
That could be your birthday if that's how you really wanted it. But like for what's supposed to be a romantic holiday?
Yeah, it's no different. Like you said, we were talking about earlier. It's no different than Christmas. It's the same shit. Presents, gifts, whatever.
Well, I mean, you should be at least, you know, having sex regularly, not just those holidays, but.
Of course, but everybody says, I mean, you should also be doing nice things for your partner regardless.
Right.
But for some reason, people make this day so special and important.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Like, most people aren't even creative or original.
I and it's funny, my wife said to me last night, she goes, you can go to the store tomorrow and get me some candy when they're half off if you really want to.
Yeah.
But instead, I went and bought her chocolate covered strawberries, which I almost decided to pass off that I did it myself, but I decided at the last minute to be true, to be honest about it and tell her I didn't do it. But at least I bought them for her.
Yeah.
She didn't give a shit.
No, why would she? And she shouldn't.
Exactly.
There shouldn't be this overline. If you're with somebody who makes Valentine's Day a big, bigger than it is thing, you shouldn't be with that person.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Well, that's my thing, too, is the girls make it about them. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it should be a both ways kind of thing, I think.
Well, if you're having to make it about you as a woman, then you shouldn't be with your dude either.
Yeah, because clearly he's not taking care of you the rest of the year.
Doesn't give a shit.
So.
And Monday was Galentine's Day. Have you heard about this?
This is a fairly new thing because I was
trending on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. Galentine's Day is the Monday before Valentine's Day where all the single ladies who don't need a man, even though they all do, that's why they're getting together the day before Valentine's Day to almost boycott it because they're lonely sacks of shit.
Jesus.
They gotta all stick together. Yeah, women, stop now. You're just doing it because Valentine's Day is gonna be just a normal day for you and it upsets you because you're lonely. Why is it making me mad? I don't know. Yeah. Oh, the single ladies. Carve. Jenny was here in the banister.
She's another one. Can we just stop pretending that she's like the shit because she's pregnant and sang a song at the Grammys?
I don't know. What did I tweet? Millennials treat her like she's a god, when really she doesn't even write. She barely writes any of her own songs. Well, yeah, but she sings them. So no, it doesn't. It's unimportant.
It shouldn't work that way, but it works that way for a lot of artists.
Fucking idiots.
I don't disagree, my friend.
Did you watch the Grammys at all?
I did not. Neither. And not out of boycott, but just I couldn't.
I don't think a lot of people did.
Could not care less.
I watched a little bit. My girl's daughter insisted on it. That's who's watching the Grammys, by the way. Who? We turned on The Walking Dead, and she was mad that we changed the channel, so she went upstairs and watched the Grammys by herself.
So teenagers are watching the Grammys.
Not even 12-year-olds are into the Grammys. And she was obsessed with Beyonce. 12-year-old.
Of course.
That's great. You know, she can have her fans and stuff, but that's who's watching it and caring about it. And not understand. And that's the thing. They're making these political statements, and that's who they're talking to.
Right.
12-year-olds who don't even give a shit. Yeah. It's, I don't know. You said, because we're both having kids, we're both having sons. I'm very excited again, if you haven't heard the news. But you said you didn't know how you're going to raise a son in Trump's America. I say I just don't know how I'm going to raise a son in this world that we're living in, just in general. I don't want to narrow it down to just him, because
I don't disagree with that at all.
I think he's great. I don't think he's the problem at all. I think,
seriously,
I don't. That's for another show.
I don't think he's the problem. I don't think he's the cause of this particular problem that we're discussing. I think that's very much the liberals. But
I don't think
he's causing some other fucking problems, which I really am not thrilled with.
Sure, but the things that are going to affect your child and you more than him are other parents at your elementary school who are fucking douchebags.
The fact that there's a Russian sub off the coast of fucking Connecticut at the moment, that I blame him for.
All right, now you're turning into. I was trying to do more of the kid thing.
I know. Politics. But you started me on politics, and I don't like talking about politics.
Apparently you do.
I don't. I really don't. But
I'm telling you.
Shit like that annoys me.
The things that I'm most worried about having a kid, is dealing with other kids. Not the kids, the parents.
Right.
I really am not looking for, because I think whatever school my kid goes to, all the parents are going to fucking hate me.
Oh, I'm sure.
They're going to fucking hate me. Because there's so much bullshit that goes on in elementary schools. I see it every day when I go to pick up my girl's daughter. And she laughs her ass off because I call out all the silly things that they do at schools now. It's going to be interesting. I can't wait.
It's the world we live in, though. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do about it.
It's going to create a lot of content, let me tell you.
I'm sure.
Can you not wait? I can't wait.
I shy away from controversy and conflict.
I think I'm going to record my child's birth on my iPhone so we can play on the show. How do you feel about that? I mean, you think I'm kidding? I don't know.
No, I don't think you're kidding. That's the thing.
For the show. Yeah.
And on that note, let's get to our first guest, shall we? On the show tonight, our first guest will be headlining at Helium Comedy Club. By the way, I need to stop this real quick. This is a pre-recorded interview, obviously.
Why would you even do this?
Because...
I was totally going to go with it.
I stumbled in the first sentence there. You can hear it. And you had to fucking snicker and call me on it. I'm like an asshole.
All right. For those of you listening to this, just listen. Start from the beginning and just listen. We're sorry it's not live, but it is funny how Brian fucks up.
I flubbed it within the first 10 seconds of the fucking interview, but I was fine for the rest of it, I think.
He does this every time.
Anyway, here's Mark Normand. On the show tonight, our first guest will be headlining at Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia this weekend. He's got a podcast called Tuesdays with Stories that he does with Joe List. And he is our first guest tonight on the Radio Freaks. Mr. Mark Normand, how are you, sir?
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for coming on the show. You are going to be doing a bunch of shows down here at Helium. You've been here before. You like the room?
Yeah, the third time headlining. Love nice. Helium. Great nice. Club, great city, good people, good eggs.
you used to open a lot for Amy Schumer, and you were on Inside Amy Schumer also. I met Amy at Helium when she was co-headlining a night with Joe DeRosa. That's how, like,
wow,
not famous she was at that point. And the guy that took my picture was Opie from the Opie and Anthony show. He said, "Hey, have you ever met Amy Schumer before?" I said, "No, not yet." He goes, "Oh, let me introduce you. Let me take your picture." So we took a picture. It's the blurriest. It might as well have been Michael J. Fox taking the picture, because it's the blurriest fucking picture I've ever seen in my life. But you can kind of see that it's Amy Schumer. But that's probably my only interaction with Amy. But it was before she was famous.
That's crazy. She must have hated that gig. Hanging out with DeRosa, taking photos. That's not like her.
It's not like her now.
When you pass up DeRosa, yeah, that's when you know you're doing well. It's like, that's part of paying your dues, you know, open mics and, bombing and DeRosa.
Add that to the checklist.
Yes.
That's funny. So you've opened up for her. Who is, you're kind of really getting heralded as like one of the next big guys in comedy. Who do you have that you kind of are bringing along that you kind of think is going to be the next generation of big comics? Do you look at those types of things, or?
Wow, yeah. I mean, I didn't even know I was heralded as a comic who's big, so that's nice to hear. Thanks. I had no idea.
Yeah. The Intero Bank says you're up next.
Those crazy kids over there. I don't know. I mean, there's a ton of funny guys who... and gals who don't get credit. There's so many great comics in New York. It's crazy.
Right.
I mean, like Sam Morril and Joe List and Phil Hanley and all these guys. But I don't know. I think if people are good, they'll get known. It'll happen. I just got lucky with Schumer bringing me out. I've been opening for Louie a little bit.
Sure.
So it's the problem is the industry. The industry, they're all idiots. They don't know what's what. They think they have good taste and a good eye, but they really don't. And they just go, "Oh, I heard this guy's got heat.
Right?
Let's glom onto him." And you're like, "Yeah, but that guy sucks. He's just like a handsome black kid. You know, he's not that funny." You know, you gotta. No one has their own eye anymore. Everyone's too scared to take a risk. Comics are the ones who actually, like a Louis C.K. He's taking my friend Joe List out on the road,
right?
And the industry hates Joe List.
Really? That's pretty fucked up.
Does that make any sense?
No, that's not at all. I mean, when somebody, you would think that if Louis C.K. has taken a liking to somebody, then he's got to be somebody you should be paying attention to.
Exactly, because the comics know, but the industry claims to know, but they just go with what's hot and what the buzz, who's talking about who, you know?
Right. That's the first time I've
always asked comics.
That's the first time I've ever heard anybody refer to Sherrod as an attractive black guy before, though.
Well, I'm saying younger people, you know, like they want young. They want young and non-threatening.
Right, right. Tony and I are about to have children, and that's changed our lives, and not for the better.
Boy.
Not for the better at the moment, but eventually I'm hoping that it will get better once the kids actually get here. But it, I think, has kind of salted us towards Valentine's Day. Did you do anything for Valentine's Day with anybody?
Well, wait a minute. You're both having children? Did you guys
yes.
get a surrogate? Is this a couple thing?
Yeah. God, that would be awful.
Yes, I can't imagine how ugly that kid would be. Seriously. No,
can you get... Oh, yeah. Sorry, what?
I was just going to say, I'm starting a family at 40... Well, I'll be 42 when the kid gets here. Tony's almost 20 years younger than I am, and he's starting a family, and we're like due yeah. within 2 weeks of each other.
I'll be 28. I'm completely fucked. It's all over.
Right, right. Well, you're all right. You got a good gig, and I got to say, people are having kids way older now, so that's impressive. You're still in your 20s having a kid. Was it an accident?
It was, yeah. Complete accident. Alcohol will do that.
Tell me about it.
The sad
I know
part
what you
is
mean. I'm hungover out of my mind.
The sad part is mine was actually planned. So I have to have rocks in my head at 40 years old to try and have a kid, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why you would want to.
No.
There was no alcohol involved whatsoever. It was absolutely planned.
Well, you
good for you, you know. Bring
you
weren't
people
in the world.
Yeah.
But I'm sure your wife was plenty drunk when just having to have sex with you.
Nice. Thanks, asshole.
You're welcome.
There you go.
What did you do for Valentine's Day? Anything good?
Yeah, me and a lady. It was actually her idea. This is how cool of a gal she is. She said she hates all the traditional flowers and chocolate. She's like, what if we take a bunch of mushrooms and go to the Westminster Dog Show at the Garden? I said, hey, let's do it. That is romantic.
Wow, that is certainly an alternative Valentine's Day. We
it was pretty wild. I mean, the best part was being tripping and seeing the people. The people are that's the sight to see, all the fans of dogs, you know.
That's crazy. I have my wife's got a coworker that actually breeds dogs, and they participate in the Westminster Dog Show. And I'm a fan of dogs. I'm a fan of cats. I like having them around, but I don't like them enough that I'm participating in a show where I'm asking for rewards for how great my dog is.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right, right. The whole thing is bananas. Like, I don't know how they judge it. They don't give you any information. They don't go, this one's got the best legs and he's got a good coat. They tell you nothing. It's just some old guy with a tuxedo on who goes, this one, and this one. You're like, well, why? Tell me why.
Yeah. I don't absolutely understand.
There probably is no why. It's just dogs.
Yeah.
Whichever one he thinks.
Right, right. And then. Yeah, you got a boxer versus a poodle versus a terrier. It's like, well, this is all different groups here.
Yeah. It's crazy. I don't... There's no rhyme or reason to it. It seems to the average person that goes and looks at it, there's no rhyme or reason to it. I'm sure they have some formula that they follow, but
yeah,
it's crazy.
Right.
If you're just a casual observer, like if you're flipping through and check it out, then you have no idea really what the fuck's going on or what they're judging it on, so...
I know, and the people get so into it, like, he'd pick a boxer, and they'd go, yeah, half the crowd's going nuts. I'm like, what do you know this boxer? Is this your neighbor? Like, what are you kidding? It's just such a weird award show, because if you pass these dogs on the sidewalk, you just go, hey, don't shit on me, watch out, you know. But, you know,
don't bite me.
It's still an award-winning dog, apparently.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, every dog can jump over some shit. Or walk up.
Right, right.
Make it interesting. Like, which dog can lick peanut butter up the fastest?
Yeah. Ooh, now that's a category.
Something fun.
Crunchy or smooth.
Yeah.
Go with the smooth. You don't want the nibbles.
That's it. Yeah, those nuts come out sooner or later, and they're whole. I don't know how that happens. So.
Yeah, exactly. Which come nuts out, are we talking?
Come out shitting but, fucking Snickers bars.
It's almost like it's almost like like who's watching that? I know it's on TV. Who's sitting at home watching that on TV? Too.
I know. The best part was it's really you realize that the handler, like the dog owner, this is like his or her crowning moment because he's got nothing going on in his life. He's never made a name for himself, and then this dog that he bought gets to bring him some trophy.
Right.
It's really a weird thing. Like this guy has no skills, but the dog is the one winning, but then the guy gets all the adulation. I don't know, the whole thing's kooky.
Most people's dogs bring them the paper. These people's dogs are bringing them awards. I don't get it.
There you go. Wow, that is a great little review.
Yeah, that's a good one, Brian.
Well said.
I've never professed to be a comedian. I'm certainly not good at crafting jokes, but...
No, that was good.
Here's a crazy thought. Crazy thought, and feel free to hang up on me. this is the mushrooms talking. So, you know, each dog they put up on this table, they grab its nuts, they pull its tail, they look at its teeth and everything.
Sure.
And they're like, this dog used to be a rabbit hunter, and it would hunt the rabbits after they shoot them and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And all these dogs had some purpose, and now they're just some dumb dog a girl puts in her purse, you know.
Yeah.
It's like an accessory, but they all had a purpose. That's why you bred dogs. You're like, I need to herd my sheep, I need
right.
to... you know, find a fox or whatever the hell it is.
Sure.
And it's almost like people. I feel like people used to have a purpose, and now we're all just weak and sad and sensitive and fat-shaming and all this shit. And I feel like we're kind of going the same way. You know, these dogs used to do things and stand for something, and now they're all just like a fluffy Pomeranian. You just, you know, you match your purse with.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
That makes sense.
I don't disagree with you at all. And as a matter of fact, it's gotten to the point where, and I'm not big on checking these kinds of facts and shit like that, so I don't know for sure, but I've seen articles where it says that we are bastardizing these species for the sake of novelty, and it's really screwing up genetics. So,
Right. Now it comes down to what dog is cutest.
Right.
You know, like, oh, he's the fluffy, is this a puggle, or we're just breeding to make cuteness instead of breeding to make usefulness.
Yeah. So I don't know what...
I think people are going that way, too.
I think that you're absolutely right. I think that we're going to wind up with some sort of mongrel that's going to probably wind up killing a bunch of people because we probably washed down its genetics so much that it's just some stupid animal.
So. Right, yeah, and... Isn't it mind-boggling? And sorry, I'm getting all trippy here, but that the wolf was dogs come from wolves. Am I wrong here?
No, that's what I thought too. And wolves are very, very smart animals. So
yes, but then how do you get a bulldog from a wolf? Isn't that's how far evolution or genetics can go or breeding can go? It's pretty amazing that came from that.
It's kind of funny, like you were saying with people. I mean, like we used to be tougher and not offended, and you know, and guys were guys, and girls and women were women, and now we're just a bunch of like mostly poodles walking around being like, don't touch me.
And guys are kind of
so
like
true,
poodles.
Yes.
Guys are kind of like poodles too, where most of us have our nuts in the female's purse. So there's that.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, nicely done.
Bonnaroo.
And this is why I should just
talking,
run
yeah.
the fucking podcast and not try and be funny. That's it. That's really.
Yeah,
I'm here for a reason.
No, that was good.
I'm here for a reason, and it's not the jokes. So.
I like the people thing too, though, because you see that with kids. Since we're gonna have kids, but like I see it because my girlfriend has a daughter, and when we go pick her up from school, it's almost like a showing of whose kid and whose parent is better than the other parent, or you know, my kid's smarter and richer than your kid, and You know, it's almost like a
right.
It's like a human contest almost. Well, like look at me. I bred this kid better than your kid.
So I don't know about you guys, but we went through that back in the early 80s too when I was growing up. I mean, it's always kind of been some sort of competition a little bit amongst families and students and things of that nature.
We're really just dogs.
Yeah.
So
we're dogs. I mean, it's the same thing. Like back in the day, a wolf or whatever the hell could just live off the land and he kills its own prey, and then now we have these little weird, sad lap dogs. And then you look at people, we used to just be tough. You know, we go to war, we do this, we go, you know, we farm, and then now we can't eat peanut butter or we'll die.
Right.
You know?
I don't understand that either.
Peanut allergies.
As somebody who's about to be a father, I don't understand that either. So when I was a kid, we didn't have all these. You have a gluten allergy, you have a peanut allergy, you have this allergy, that allergy.
Right.
It seems like you can't even bring cupcakes these days or, you know, whatever to a class for a birthday like we used to when I was a kid. And I'm 40 years old, so we're going back, you know, 30 years, but that shit was perfectly acceptable. There was never any of this, oh, I have an allergy to this or that or the other thing. Nowadays, it's almost like you can't bring anything in without somebody having an allergy to something. And I don't know where we went wrong as a species where that sort of developed. I don't know if it's the antibiotic-resistant viruses and shit or what it is, but genetics has been fucked up to such a point where we're allergic to being allergic.
All right, Brian's turning into Alex Jones.
Right.
I'm not Alex.
Hey,
Jones.
Not a bad transition. it's a Purell thing. It's all Purell. If everything is washed away, all the germs, then you're not immune to germs. Then you get screwed.
So it's going to be a whole different world that I'm not used to, and I'm not looking forward to certain aspects of being a father.
It's also funny, Mark, that you went to the dog show with your chick. You're not dating this chick, right?
Oh, who knows? It's up and down. Black is white. Left is right. She's gay.
Yeah, from what I heard, you really don't settle down. You're not looking forward to that.
I got a real commitment problem here.
But that's cool because, you know, there's girls out there who are, like, really proud to spend Valentine's Day with their dog at home and say, I don't need a man. I got my dog. Like, no.
No. That's a whole different kind of sad.
Yeah.
Right.
Or what, Monday was a Galentine's Day?
Really?
You know what that's called? You know, it's where since all your girlfriends who don't have a man or a boyfriend, they all celebrate the day before. Mm-hmm. And they all hang out and drink, you know, wine and stuff. Ugh.
Oh, that's so silly. I mean, look, if you really don't care, just don't do anything. The fact that you have to have a Galentine's Day just proves that you're miserable. I hate that whole thing. Like, oh, who needs a man and all that? It's like, well, if you don't need a man, just what are you talking? Why do you have to talk about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Just go do your thing.
Right. If you need, it's like don't when need a man.
Say big is beautiful.
If you don't need a man, then clearly, I said, if you don't need a man, then clearly the women aren't paying attention to you either. So there's a problem.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just go live your life. Why do you have to, you know, bring it up? You're clearly upset about it.
Exactly.
Well, because their hopes are that it draws. Their hopes are that it draws in a man, which any sane man would care. Or I guess maybe you just take advantage of lonely chicks on Valentine's Day. That's what I would do.
You are.
Yeah. You know what else is a Valentine's Day problem that I hate is these girls who like date their boyfriends for years and they're like, hey, on Valentine's Day, I'm going to get you laid. And the guy's like, you should be banging me all the time. What are you just going to bang me on Valentine's Day? It's the holiday. It's insane.
Exactly. For Christmas and Valentine's Day and your birthday are about the three times that happens. And I don't understand that either.
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to be attracted to me, and if we're not attracted to each other, we shouldn't be together.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right.
I actually felt, you know, come to think of it, I don't know, subconsciously I felt obligated to fuck my chick yesterday. And I don't even know why I felt that.
Yeah, well.
Is it pressure?
I think that's pretty standard. Yeah, it's a pressure there.
Because I don't want her to get
pissed.
But
don't you
want
to bang her normally all the time?
Of course, but that day specifically, it doesn't happen, you know, every day. You know, some days are...
Right. Well, yeah.
Yesterday, I definitely, like, felt...
That was, Is this pregnant sex we're talking here?
Yes.
Whoa, what's that like?
It's normal. I don't know if you've ever seen Knocked Up. I still always think like, oh, it's coming right at him. What you know?
Right.
But you know, I think for me, it's always been a weird kind of fantasy, I guess you could say. I have mommy issues, you know.
Good. Whatever. Then I'm not alone, because while we've discussed your mommy issues on this show ad nauseum, but you and I don't have the same type of sexual preference. Apparently,
you're calling me gay.
No, that's not. I don't. I mean, you go for older women. I go for younger women. But that apparently, I'm just finding out, is something that we have in common, because I have kind of like a pregnant chick fetish too, which is weird.
Mark?
Oh, really?
Mark, comment?
No. I feel like we're really getting somewhere now.
Mark's
I don't know. I don't have that. Mark's I feel like that's the closest you can get to pedophilia. You know, it's, the baby's right there.
Mark's like, I'm staying the fuck out of this one.
Well, no, Mark's done some. I know Mark's done some weird sexual shit with some. I think, didn't you like have sex with a girl with no legs or something like that? Or one leg, or
one leg. Yeah, she had a what do you call it, a prosthetic leg, and it was great sex. I think she knew she had a one leg, so she had to bring it. You know,
I'm wondering, is that a thing? Because you know, do they compensate? Because they say like fat girls give better blowjobs, so I'm wondering if handicapped girls are feeling they need to compensate in some way as well.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, she, the leg kept coming off in the sex, which is awkward, but, yeah. But see, here's the move though. I was pretty drunk, so I didn't want her to feel bad. So I would just play with the leg. I did like a hey, batter with it. I did like a Charlie Chaplin cane twist with the leg. You know, I did a bunch of stuff just to make her feel not like a weirdo. I did a golf swing, you know.
Why wouldn't she just leave it off at that point? I don't understand why.
Well, it's a little rough. It's a nub there.
Right. But if you're dating, I mean, I would think that there's no need for pretense. You know that she's got a prosthetic leg. There's no need to.
I don't think they were dating, Brian.
Oh, okay.
No. It was like a two-night stand or whatever.
Gotcha.
I mean, stand is a little insensitive, but you get it.
A two-night hobble or something.
Yeah, there you go. Two-night shimmy.
That's funny. Tell us about Tuesdays with Stories. If I remember correctly, I thought, and I could be very wrong about this, and please feel free to correct me, but the name of the podcast came from the movie Tuesdays with Maury, or it's loosely based on that or something.
There you go.
Basically,
it's sorry.
Go ahead.
It was Joe List's idea. He's the guy I do the podcast with, fellow comedian,
right.
And you know, it's he goes on the road to wherever the hell, Denver, and I go to Philly or whatever, and then we have all these shenanigans, women, sex, fights, heckles, you know, drunk nights, and then we come back on Tuesday after the weekend on the road,
right?
And we just tell each other our stories and pepper them with jokes and whatever the hell.
Nice.
And you know, like the legless, the one-legged woman is in there. It's all this fun stuff's in there.
That's pretty cool. That's I feel like, and not to sound demeaning, because it's not, I think it's kind of cool, but it seems like every comedian's got a podcast, and it's almost like you need a shtick these days in order to keep people's attention. I feel like that's a good kind of a formula for a comedian podcast, is to just talk about shit that happens on the road, because that's inherently funny, I would think.
Totally, and Seinfeld calls it the kit. Like, every comedian has to have a kit now, which is
right.
Like, you have to have an act, you have to have a podcast, a web series. So, yeah, that's our podcast, and I think they all have different themes, everybody's podcast, but if they're funny and you like the people doing it, that's really all that matters. It's just like radio, you know?
Sure.
The formats are all pretty similar, but you just got to stand out and be funny, and that'll get people in. Like, you know, Adam Carolla or Joe Rogan or whatever, these are just good podcasts because they're funny and interesting.
Sure.
I think a lot of people get too hung up on these gimmicks, you know, like, we're going to have donkey sex, you know, podcast or whatever the hell. And he's like, all right, well, that's cool, but is it funny?
Right, right, exactly right. Ours is absolutely unoriginal insofar as it's a tried and true formula that's been done in radio for years, but we were the first, one of the first groups to do it as a podcast, and that's we interview comedians and porn stars. So it's not anything new, but you know,
I like it.
It's kind of worked for Howard Stern. It's worked for Opie and Anthony. So I figured, fuck it, we would do a podcast version of it since we're fans of both of those guys and that type of radio. So
right,
and we've been doing it for seven years. So,
well, how long?
7 years now. We were doing it when it was called Internet Radio.
Wow!
Now it's called podcasting. So, but we're coming
up.
Yeah,
there you go. I thought you were going to say your podcast was about fucking pregnant women.
That's actually my new show. That's all it's going to be about. We're branching out.
Yeah, it's called Pregnant Pause.
We got to get on that.
Writing it down?
Yeah.
Tony's actually started a new one called The Bastardist, and he's trying to get that off the ground. But it's basically like a guide for millennials, Tony.
Yeah, fucking millennials fucking piss me off, and I hate that I'm considered one, so...
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm, what is it, 80, 1980 and above is a millennial?
Yeah. I don't like being associated with that group, to be honest.
Hey, I'm with you. It's an embarrassing group.
It really is.
There's all these kind of stereotypes about millennials that I find that for a lot of you guys, it's not a fair stereotype, but for some of you guys, it's pretty fucking accurate.
Stop saying you guys. I'm not.
Oh, sure.
Well, I mean, as people that are from that age range, I'm not necessarily saying you are a millennial that fits that mold. I'm just saying.
I'm just sick of the overly offended culture and everything needs to be rallied about and protested. I'm sure Mark knows because he's a comedian. I'm sure you've gotten backlash. As of late? Anything as of late?
I'm completely with you.
Anything as of late? I know. I think
yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, totally. I get shit all... I try to tweet jokes every day, and I tweeted one the other day that I was pretty proud of, and it got a ton of whatever, but it was... let's see, one of them was, a lot of women claim to love Lena Dunham, but if you tell them they look like her, they get upset.
I love
and then
that.
One was...
Lena Dunham joke.
One was... oh, yeah. One was, it just said, me: I'm scared of terrorists, millennial, hey, don't talk about Muslims, and then me, I wasn't. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Very simple.
I feel like there's a lot of subtle racism and prejudice with the millennial side, and then that's why they get so angry. You know, like a lot of these people who like, now you can't make a joke about black people. It's like I have black friends that live in a black neighborhood. You're not around any black people at all. Like that's why you're so getting offended on behalf of a group is ridiculous, and it's so condescending. Like. It's almost like saying, hey, don't pick on someone your own size. You can't mess with black people. It's like, they've been through a ton. They can take a fucking joke.
Yeah. You're right. Most of the people protesting for all this stuff are usually white people. Usually.
Yes, exactly. I think they have a lot of guilt, and that this is how they get it out. But a lot of times these protesters, and look, I'm a liberal guy, but I think they all have some inner hatred or inner anger themselves, that they're projecting. They're like, you guys are all, you Republican, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, I think you guys are a little angrier. We're just hanging out.
I just don't understand how these days you can't have a stance without, you can't be one thing without being anti something else. Like this election taught me that you can't be pro Hillary or pro Trump without being anti the other. I really didn't like either one of them. I was honestly more of a Bernie guy. I really didn't like either one of them. But if you were for the Democrats, you're against the Republicans. And if you're against the Republicans, you're for the Democrats. And I honestly was for neither one of them. It really was not my thing.
Yes.
So.
And it's all about unity, and we got to come together as a country, and we're all equal, but then everyone's so divided at the same time. So it's like, which one is it?
Right. Exactly.
I mean, as comedians too, you like you really just all are like under attack now. Like George Lopez thing, that was interesting.
Wait, what happened with him? What happened there?
That woman in the crowd, and then he went after her, which is great audio. It was everywhere. Maybe you didn't hear it. And then Nick Cannon too. Then he just quit America's Got Talent because they. Was it NBC? Is that the network it's on? They were mad about one of his stand-ups. Stand-up.
We talk about this a lot on our show. We talk about this a lot on our show, and I don't understand for the life of me why you're going to hire a comedian who does what comedians do. Perfect example of this, and this is the go-to example I use all the time, is Gilbert Gottfried. Why are you going to hire Gilbert Gottfried to represent a national product and then get upset when people do exactly what they've done for for years and years and years? They've done a certain type of comedy, and all of a sudden, because they did one children's movie, you expect that they're not going to do all those years of comedy that they've done for decades and be that person.
Right.
I'm pretty sure nobody that was affected by the tsunami went and checked their Twitter and said, "Have you seen what this motherfucker is writing about us?" So it was other people being offended for them. And we need to stop with this fake outrage for everybody else and worry about ourselves.
And what's up with why attack comedians? It's some dork on stage with a microphone telling a rape joke. And people go, "Oh my God, you can't!" Blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, what's the difference? It's a joke that he told in a comedy club crowd that you showed up to.
Right.
Like, who gives a crap? There's people getting raped. Go help them.
Right.
That's what I say. It's like the whole Redskins logo thing. Everyone just goes for the convenience thing because they want to seem like a hero. Like, we got to change the Redskins logo, and you're like, well, why don't you actually go help Native Americans? And they always just go logo.
Right.
Logo first.
Yes.
Like, well, that's not going to do anything. That's not going
to
help them.
We need to start somewhere.
I can't do that now. I got to get to the gym and pick up.
We need to start somewhere. Well, how about you fucking start with helping those people and not over a stupid fucking logo?
You're right.
Yeah, because if they say they're going to help change the logo, then they look like a hero and then they're done. They get the high five and their computer and they're good.
Exactly. Fucking irritates me.
And I hope all this is going away. I feel like it's starting to turn back the other way, which is good, but it's taking a little long.
Well, that's what I love about what Nick Cannon did. He said he's done with America's Got Talent. The comedian announced his exit on Facebook page Monday, saying he was deeply saddened about being threatened with termination by executives after he made a racial joke about NBC on his recent Showtime stand-up special.
Yeah, I wonder what the joke was.
I wonder too. I mean, I don't know what the joke was. I'm taking this completely out of context, I'm sure, but based on what you just said, you're kind of making fun of your employer. Now, depending on what he said about his employer, all right, maybe I could see them threatening him because that's then an employer-employee situation or a contract situation. But if he just made a joke and he was working for somebody else, and he made fun of NBC, well, they can go fuck themselves.
I have the joke, if you'd like.
Go ahead.
Right.
I'll read it. Obviously, it's not going to work. But
go ahead.
The joke was, the quote was, I honestly believe once I started doing America's Got Talent, they took my real nigga card. They did, because then, like, these type of people started showing up to my shows, pointing out white audience members. I can't do the real nigga stuff no more because they'll put me on TMZ, which I don't even think there's anything wrong with that.
No, I don't think that's the case at all.
He's fine, and I mean, first of all, this is the first time anyone said anything good about Nick Cannon. But secondly, the irony here is that this is the most equality. If a black guy is getting in trouble, that means that's real equality. Hey, we're all in this together.
Yes.
You know, usually they go, he's black, let it slide. But the fact that black people are getting called out now, that's huge.
If Nick Cannon's getting called out,
they're treating people equally.
If Nick Cannon's getting called out, there's hope for Michael Richards. So.
Exactly.
I just like that he said, you know what, fuck this. I'm quitting first because this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I do like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
Like, fuck it. I don't need the money.
I like all these. Right. Yeah, he's made a ton of money, and I like, and he's a horrible comedian, but I like when these comedians, you know, stick with their gun. I hate when comics apologize. You know, they're like, hey, the Latino group's offended. You got, it's like, well, who cares? If you apologize, it just gives them more power.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
We are very, very pro-comedian on this show, so you'll never hear us disagree with that argument at all.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, all right. here's another nugget I want to throw at you.
Go ahead.
Is, you know, in the 60s, Lenny Bruce was like this, you know, beacon of truth, and he said what's what, and yep. The man shut him down, and he said cocksucker, and they turned off his mic and put him in jail. And everybody's like, what a hero. And now, if you say those same things, the kids, the audiences are the ones that go, hey, you can't say that. And, the, you know, now it's completely flipped. We praise this guy. We glorify this guy as like a, you know, this guy stood up to the man. He's got such balls and he's integrity. And now, if you try to do that, you get in trouble.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
It's completely 180.
Yeah, it really is. And it's just a sad state of affairs for the country. I don't know whether... Again, I really wasn't for either Trump or Hillary, so I don't have a dog in this race. But I'm wondering if things are going to change based on the fact that we have now a president who kind of has no filter and just says whatever the fuck he wants. If it's going to change things in a way that people will then feel that way as well, or if it's just going to be more and more protests. I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, right. I mean... Hey, I sound like my dad here, but you know, we almost need some atrocity to happen just because it'll make, because, you know, complaining about jokes and being offended, that's a luxury. It's a luxury to be able to go, hey, I didn't think that, I'm pissed.
Yep.
No, if you have real horrible things going on, you don't have time to complain about that. You're going, what a joke, who cares? We're getting bombed, or there's a potato famine, or whatever the hell.
Right. Yeah. As somebody in the medical community, I can honestly say I've never been more proud of the country than I was after 9/11. And I'm just sad that it took something like a tragedy like that to bring everybody together, because we were very divided then as well. And it's almost like we need, and I, God forgive me for saying this, but it's almost like we need another, like you said, a huge tragedy to fucking reset everybody's mindset.
Yeah, it's a bummer that it might. That's what it takes. Because, like, I'm from New Orleans, and
you guys had
fun
floods.
City, yeah, boozy, strip clubby, you know, just a crazy party town. And Katrina hit. It was crazy crime, crazy corruption. Katrina hit, and it was like a kick in the pants. Like, the city was ruined,
right?
And everybody had to just buckle up and fix the city. And the city's way better than it used to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes it takes hitting that reset button, but it's sad that it has to come to that.
Yeah, the Cleveland Cavaliers won a championship, but that place is still a shithole, so I don't know. I think Cleveland's fucked forever.
Nice.
That's a good point. And the Indians won, too. It still sucks.
Yeah. Shithole.
Well, Chicago's not much better, and they won the World Series. I don't see that bringing anybody together either, so I don't know. But
yeah, but I'm saying a tragedy. If somebody blew up the Bulls stadium, maybe that would help.
Oh, shit. Well,
Mark Norman is not saying anybody should do that, obviously.
No, God, no. I love Bulls, and I love basketball, and I love Chicago.
And real Bulls. And
I got your back.
We love everybody.
Thank you. Yeah.
You can catch Tuesdays with Stories with Mark Norman and Joe List on Tuesdays through iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And you can catch Mark at Helium Comedy Club this weekend in Philadelphia. You're doing 6 shows. Thursday, an 8 o'clock show. Friday and Saturday, you're doing 7:30 and 10 o'clock. And then Sunday, you're doing a 7:30 show, too. Not a lot of guys do the Sunday 7:30 show, so that's pretty awesome. You're doing an extra night. So,
Cool. I just taped an hour special, so I need to just build new material. So I'm just trying to get all the time I can get.
Nice. Do you kind of purge once a year? You just empty all that stuff out into a special and start over? Or?
Well, I'm still like 10 years in, and that's like a Louis thing. It's the whole one show, one set a year, but I'm not there yet. I'm at about 3 years or 3.5.
Gotcha.
So it's going to take a while to get a new set, but I'm working on it.
Cool. Very cool. Well, people should go down and check you out. For more information and tickets, heliumcomedy.com/Philadelphia or call 215-496-9001. You can follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Norm. And we're really happy to have you on the show tonight, man. I hope you had a good time. And I look forward to seeing you this weekend. I'll stop down.
Yeah, please come by. And I had a great time. And you guys are real pros and good eggs.
Nice. Thank you. And check out the website, too, marknormancomedy.com. I forgot about that. We appreciate you coming
on
the show,
man. Oh, yeah,
all
my dates are on there.
Cool. Mark, thanks a lot, man. Have a great night. We appreciate it. And I would definitely stop down and see you this weekend.
All right, you too, guys. That was fun. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See you.
Mark Norman, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very good time with him.
He's the best.
Yeah, he really was.
I have to say, definitely check out his podcast, Tuesdays with Stories. I don't know why I can't talk so much. It's hilarious. Him and Joe List are just ridiculous. The stories they tell are insane.
Yeah.
They're almost unbelievable. Like they're you would never, like, you're full of shit. I remember when you told the story about him having sex with a girl with one leg. Like, everyone's like, you're full of shit. You never did that. And I'm like, no, I did it. Yeah.
Right.
But, like, the great thing about Tuesdays is Tuesday with Stories. I can't say that. It's very upbeat. Like, it's good for listening when you're working out. I mean, they have so much energy. I think they're on drugs or something when they do the shows. It's very upbeat. It's very loud. It's great.
Nice.
They're both very animated and very excited, almost overly excited. Like, they love doing their podcast. That sounds like
the opposite of what we usually are.
Yes, yes. Very high energy. It's quick. Like, that's what I love about it. It's like, it's great for, like, somebody like me who constantly needs something in the background quickly. You know,
validation.
Non-stop entertainment, yes, that too. But you have to go listen to it. It's hilarious. It's very entertaining. It just doesn't stop. Like, there's no pauses. They're just bam, bam, bam. It's like they did coke every episode.
Well, if he's doing shrooms and going to the Westminster Dog Show, I mean, how far of a stretch is coke, really?
I love it.
Not to say that Mark Norman's doing drugs. I cannot confirm or deny that. I'm just saying.
Why would he?
Anyway.
Yes, go check him out at Helium this weekend.
Yes. I was very, very happy with the interview, too.
Yeah.
Really, really funny guy.
Hilarious.
So. That was the first time we've ever had Mark on the show. I thought we had him on previously, but it was the first time we've had him on. And boy, was I glad we got him.
Let's get him back before he blows up.
Yes.
That's coming soon.
Oh, yeah, it is. Absolutely, it is.
Actually, I'm just going to call it out. That's probably the last we'll ever hear from him.
You think so?
Probably, yeah.
No. Think about the fact that there's people like Adam Ferrara, who come back year after, multiple times a year, Robert Kelly, Jim Florentine, Jim Norton, fucking Brett Ernst, who we're going to have on the show next week. All these guys are big guys, and they still do the show.
I guess I'm really not saying that for our show. I'm just saying that I'm hoping that he gets
that he blows
so big. I like him so much. I'm hoping he gets so big that he just tells us to go fuck ourselves.
Right. That he gets, like, Schumer big.
Yeah, that's how much I like him.
Yeah,
it's like, maybe it's a little homophobic, homoerotic.
It's homo something.
I'm confusing my words. I'm all nervous over here.
Hamana, 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 hamana.
And Norton,
spit it out, stupid.
Yeah, no, Mark's great.
All right,
let's take a break.
Take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good pal, our new pal,
yeah,
hopefully, Jessica Holter from the Punani Poets. So stay tuned. This is the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, hey, Mark Normand here, and you're listening to Radio Freaks. Check them out on radiofreaks.tv. Praise Allah.
Want to stay up on what's going on with the show? Like the Facebook page at facebook.com/TheRadioFreaks and follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/TheRadioFreaks.
Yo, 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 damn son, I was here to talk to you about Bro Flowers. Yeah, that's right, broflowers.com. If you needs to get Valentine's Day flowers for your mama, your baby mama, your shorty, or your secretary, broflowers.com is the place to go. Shit, we get you the freshest flowers money can buy. We use our assorted network of growers such as hospitals, churches, cemeteries, nursing homes, and those fucking gas stations where you could buy a rose for a dollar and shit. We use all them to cut out the middleman and give you the best prices in town, son. Shit, we ain't kidding around. And yo, if you act today and enter in code word Obama when you place your order, you gonna get a free, that's right, a free vase courtesy of Maxwell House, son. Yeah, shit. Broflowers.com. When you gots to get the best flowers for Valentine's Day.
Hey, this is your old pal, Dr. Steve, here to tell you about my show, Weird Medicine. Weird Medicine is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio. If you have a question that you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call. I have a traditional Chinese medical doctor as my partner. What an asshole. So listen to Weird Medicine, Saturday, 10 p.m. on the East, 7 p.m. on the West. On Sirius 206, XM 103, Opie Radio.
Hey guys, it's your friend Dr. Scott from the Weird Medicine Show with Dr. Steve. A quick reminder that if you're like the rest of us, stressed out, worn out, and looking for a safe and effective convenient alternative, give My Simply Herbals a try. Fatigue Reprieve will give you the boost of energy without all of the sugar or caffeine. Stress less lowers anxiety and tension in a subtle but powerful way. The perfect stress-reducing formula. Give My Simply Herbals a try at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net.
The Summer Olympics, hundreds of events, thousands of athletes, millions of my stupid thesis spots. Are you sick of hearing my ass? I am. Hell, I don't even use Visa. I'm old school, biatch. I use Diners Club, and that's when I pay for crap. Usually folks see me and go, put away your wallet, Shawshank. That breakfast burrito's on us. Visa. Proud sponsor of the Olympics for 25 years.
Tired of the usual NYC nightclubs? Do you struggle to find that personal connection with members of the opposite sex? Maybe you're looking for something familiar. Familial? Maybe you're looking for a feeling you've known your entire life. Then we have the perfect place for you. Cousins. Cousins is New York City's hottest spot for meeting the perfect person. Your cousin. No matter what you're looking for, Cousins has it. As long as you're looking to get it on with your cousin. Cousins. No lines.
If you missed any part of the show, download it.
Shit, I can download it? Tell me where, announcer guy, I'm confused.
You can listen to the Radio Freaks every week right from your smartphone. Check us out on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio, both available in the Apple Store and Google Play.
I am so glad we did this and had a chance to catch up.
Oh, it's been a while.
Oh my god, so much fun.
Jen, can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure.
Have you lost weight? Done something different with your hair?
No. Why?
I don't know. You just seem different.
I noticed it too.
Different how?
I don't know, stronger, more confident.
Yeah. Well...
Oh!
I grew a penis!
What?
How? Doctor prescribed Maskelantin.
After millions of dollars and years of research, development, and test trials, there's a revolutionary new solution that finally allows women to experience the power and influence that comes with having a penis. Maskelantin. Maskelantin is the brand name for the prescription drug penicillin, a pharmaceutical compound that works together with a woman's hormones to stimulate the ontogenesis of male genitalia. When applied twice daily to the vaginal region, Maskelantin gel begins working immediately. The active ingredients work together with your own hormones, and in just 4 to 6 weeks, it generates a fully formed, fully functioning penis and scrotum, giving you the wiener you've always wanted.
Maskelantin may cause an increase in income, more frequent promotions at work, and a complete lack of fear when speaking in public in front of large groups. It may also result in a significant improvement in driving skill and strong, painful morning erections.
Maskelantin is approved only for the spontaneous generation of a new penis on women and is not a male enhancement treatment. Maskelantin from Johnson & Johnson.
Popsicle?
No, honey, you'll spoil your...
Hey, parents! Tired of those out-of-control kids? Throwing embarrassing tantrums wherever they go! At the grocery store, on the playground, even at the dinner table! You've had it with parenting, but wait! There is a solution! Introducing Naptime, the latest most effective tool for child tantrum prevention! It's simple! Just douse a rag with our patented Sleepy Time formula, place it over your child's cry hole, press and hold gently for 8 to 12 seconds, and presto! No more tantrum!
I was beginning to think adoption was the only way out. Then a friend of mine introduced me to Naptime. It's never been so quiet around here!
The secret lies in Naptime's revolutionary fast asleep formula. Developed by military-trained scientist doctors from NASA, Naptime's powerful molecules rush to the child's brain on contact, gently inducing instant tranquility.
This is chloroform.
Already put those wallet-draining crap factories out on the street? That's okay! Naptime works in any situation. On the golf course. An awkward blind date.
I had a really good time tonight.
It even works on pets.
After we had our first child here, we regretted it almost immediately.
We didn't know that she'd cry so much.
Talk about defective. But thanks to Naptime, our little Samantha here hasn't made a noise in weeks. I keep her in a shoebox.
Call now and we'll send you your very own 24-ounce bottle of Naptime Solution for only 23 easy payments of $1.99. But wait, there's more! Act quickly and you'll also receive the all-new Dream Sack, absolutely free! It's compact and portable for those on-the-go tantrums. Just cover it, tighten it, and forget about it. It's that simple!
We can't breathe good!
So if this looks familiar...
I feel pregnant.
Then don't wait! Order today and join the millions of Americans who just can't stop saying...
Thanks, Naptime!
Thanks, Naptime!
Thanks, Naptime!
Naptime! When they just won't shut up. Naptime is not legal in the following states.
They said Michael Phelps would never succeed as a swimmer. They were wrong. They said Michael Phelps would never win gold. They were wrong. They said Michael Phelps would never smoke a doob the size of a baby arm. They were wrong. Visa, proud sponsor of the Olympics for 25 years.
I'm Vinny Brand, and this is the world-famous Stress Factory Comedy Club. Every single weekend right here in New Brunswick, the biggest names in the business. Get some great food and a cold beer, and you'll see the best stand-up comics the country has to offer. Log on to StressFactory.com to buy your tickets and check out all the best show information. Or call us at 732-545-4242. The Stress Factory. Your friends are right. This place is great.
When my mom is a b***h, my daddy goes to EsleyMedicine.com. There he can lots of other women. When I grow up, I'm going to be an Esley Madison man. Because my daddy's raising me without any moral compass whatsoever. Ashley Madison, find your lovers here. Why exactly are we singing this? Daddy, what's a rotisserie?
Hey, Rebels, this is Rebel Lynn, and you're listening to The Radio Freaks at radiofreaks.tv.
Welcome back to The Radio Freaks. If you missed the first half of the show, Brian flubbed his way through an interview with someone famous. If you'd like to participate in the show tonight, call 951-373-2570. That's 951-FREAKS-0. Now, back to the show for more of the same shit you used to.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Welcome back to the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv. I thought an appropriate rejoiner since it's the day after Valentine's Day.
Which is ironic because today is copyright infringement day.
Oh, we're certainly doing a lot of that lately. That's interesting. Huh. If you are just tuning in, you just missed Mark Normand, who will be performing this weekend at Helium Comedy Club. You can catch him here in Philadelphia for six shows. Thursday, 8 o'clock. Friday, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. Saturday, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. And then Sunday, the altogether rare Sunday show, 7:30. For more information, 215-496-9001. Or go to heliumcomedy.com for tickets. Fucking Mark was on fire.
When is he not?
Good point, sir. Good point. I'm glad we were able to get him, though. I understand what you're saying about hoping that he blows up and tells us to go fuck ourselves, but I kind of hope he doesn't. I hope he blows up, but I would like him not to blow us off.
It's got to be realistic. You got to be realistic.
I would like to think that if people like Richard Lewis and Gilbert Gottfried are still doing the show, that we've got a shot anyway. That's interesting. Huh. Well, that was rather abrupt. It looks as though we have a caller. I don't think this is our guest. The call screening software.
Sarasota, I've been waiting here. Hold on one second, okay? Hold on. I went to like Chilope and got a burrito. Hold on. Oh. Jesus Christ. Anyway, do you have any like a Craigslist thing I can like post some stuff? I have a bunch of stuff at the bathhouse that I'm trying to get rid of. I just want to recycle it.
All right.
Oh, we're doing that, but I was going to go with it.
I don't have the patience tonight. I really don't.
I mean, I posted the number on Periscope. I don't know. Maybe somebody found the show, or why? You know, the good thing is you have me here for these situations. You know that, right? You don't need to do anything.
And by these situations, I'm wondering if it's to encourage these types of things or to handle these types of things when they happen.
I mean,
because I really don't believe that you didn't have something to do with that.
No, I didn't. Why would I have?
Because you get bored and like to watch me squirm sometimes. I think you had something to do with that. You at the very least probably encouraged it.
No, not what? Shut up. No. Really? I mean, you don't think we can handle somebody with bathhouse humor? Really? That's where you go with it?
He wants to recycle some stuff at the bathhouse.
Where was he going with it? The show is shit, and he wants to recycle it.
Baba booey. All right, we get it.
You gotta be better than that, especially with our shitty call-in studio software. Like, you gotta be a little more.
It's not shit on call-in studio, but I'm just saying.
But it auto screens, so you could say literally anything.
Right.
I mean, put you through. But you did Sarasota bathhouse? Is that an E-Rock joke? Florida? I don't
get it either.
Some lonely trucker after Valentine's Day?
Something. It does show that we have listeners.
It's true. I'll take anything, really. That's why I'm kind of mad you hung up. I kind of wanted to give him something. You know, just let him flounder. let him pull up the catch and let him just kind of shake there until they run out of air.
Now see this, we've got another caller, but this is about the time our guest should be calling. So I don't know if this is him calling back or if this is our actual guest.
Well, either way, let him call back. Or I hope it's our guest.
I think it's our guest, so I'm just going to answer that. The call screening software failed, so I'm hoping that this is Jessica Holter. How are you, Jessica?
I'm sorry, God, but you guys hung up on me. I wanted to tell you, you left your wallet at the glory hole again. You have to come back, find the bathhouse, and pick it
sir,
up.
Sir,
that's
sir,
sir. You guys hung up on me. I was talking, sir, and I wanted sir, to, I was I sir, had to poop and all good stuff.
Sir,
and you know what? I want to talk about Trump. You know about sir, Trump? Trump is sir, the greatest guy. He's going to build this wall, and he's going to talk about, like, bikinis and fashion and got all this other stuff going on. And you know what you guys are talking about? Nothing.
Sir. Okay.
Nothing.
Then why are you calling our
nothing show?
You felt the need
because to... I have nothing else to do with my time. My friends tweeted me and said I could post my... I have, like, a bunch of stuff in the bathhouse to sale. I have a Sibian. I have some cock rings. And I got used oils and stuff.
Is this
you guys can sell it. You guys are on the radio and you guys are stars.
No,
right?
It's not.
You guys are stars. You guys can get rid of my stuff.
It's definitely
so
not.
So callers call in. I want to sell my stuff.
It's a joke.
All right, love you guys. Bye.
You're not. See, again, let him flounder.
He ended it with love you guys. Bye.
He had no bit.
He just ran out of gas and went off the deep end.
Just let them flounder. And do it themselves. He knew.
He ran, boom, right up against the brick wall, and that was it.
It's okay. Again, these are radio people are weird. If you know anything about radio and callers, the people who call radio shows are most always either mentally ill or seriously fucked up in the head. I mean, you got Lady Trucker.
Well, hey, hold on a minute. I was a regular contributor to the Opie and Anthony show. That's how I got famous.
And you're not famous.
I got radio show famous. And you're right. You're absolutely right. I am not famous on any degree other than on that radio show.
Aside from what you do now, insofar as you being a radio show caller of Opie and Anthony, you were also a fucking piece of shit back then. Right?
I don't know about piece of shit. I mean, I participated in the assaults on the media and that kind of shit, but...
You were a piece of garbage.
And especially during Jocktober, I kind of led the charge on some of those assaults, but...
Yes, and you were slightly mentally crazy for being obsessed with the radio show.
I guess.
Yeah. And I'm crazy because I... Yeah, I mean, it's... Again... I actually want more of those callers. I would like to just talk to them. They got nothing.
You're encouraging that kind of stuff.
Why not?
I don't know.
Again, because they can call and if you want to have an actual discussion, sure.
But that's the thing. They don't want to have a discussion. They want their 3 seconds of fame on a dumb podcast.
Baba booey, baba booey.
Exactly.
Bro. Howard Stern's penis, Howard Stern's penis. We got it. It's not 1993.
Mr. Amos.
But a caller we do like. I believe, is on the line.
Yes.
Caller, we really want to talk to you.
Thank you for getting me back on. Wow, that's an unusual twist of fate. Usually I'm the one that rewrites the train and gets it back on the tracks, and you're the one that derails it.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been doing this for a little while now. I'm trying to really get my own going, so come on. I gotta have some, you know, sanity.
Very true, very true. Our next guest is the author and producer of the Ponani Poets, which has been around since 1995. Please welcome to the show the lovely Jessica Halter. How are you, Jessica?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome to the Radio Freaks. Thanks for calling us tonight.
It's so good to hear your
voice. Thank you.
It really is.
Which one of you is Mark?
Who the fuck is Mark?
Mark was...
I don't know.
The caller,
somebody who posted something today.
Yeah, so the caller who called previously was somebody messing with us, and he apparently referenced our previous guest, Mark Normand, who's a comedian, but he's not a host on the show.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So. Yes. This is why we're very
happy. I'm glad to be here.
We're glad that you're here with us, too.
Yes, we are.
So let me just say, when we prepare for the show, we try and do our homework and find out a little bit about the guest. And in the process of doing so, we also look for pictures of that person so that we can put it up on our little video monitor thing that scrolls for the people that are looking for some visual aspect to the show. We put pictures up of who we're talking to, kind of like the news does, where it says mm-hmm. on the phone with, and it says Jessica Halter.
Right.
So... Uh-huh. I was very, very hard-pressed to find, and I'm trying to think of the most polite way to say this without getting verbally smacked through the phone.
Oh, I hope you... Jessica, I give you full right.
I'm saying that. I was hard-pressed to find a picture, and I don't think I did, actually, that does not show off prominently your big, beautiful boobs.
I think that's a compliment. Absolutely a compliment.
I mean, I went so far as like I went looking for pictures on the Ponani Poets Facebook pages, and I think I found a picture of you gardening. So like, it's not even like you did it for show. It's like you do it in your real life too. So you're gardening with your tits out. I mean,
you see what he did. Doing here right now, by the way.
I see what he did. Yeah, I see.
he's trying to like cover. He's trying to cover his tracks. Like, I totally didn't look at a million pictures of you earlier today in my free time.
I know, right?
Privately, you know, I
get a lot of compliments on that gardening picture.
I'm sure you do.
I don't even know why. You know, when your breasts are that large and heavy, like, it's really hard, like, not to just have them out. When you try to cover them too much, it makes you look bigger than you are.
Uh-huh.
Number one. And they're very just hard to fit into things.
My wife
low-cut tops are actually more comfortable.
How do you even garden? I mean,
okay, you get on my nerves. Okay, no. They are heavy, and my back does hurt a lot. I wear those corsets though, and they're very helpful.
They help
you with your posture when you're very. So, ladies, if you're out there listening who have heavy breasts, the corsets really do help you with the weight.
Interesting.
Yeah. The pressure that it puts on your back and shoulders.
Mm-hmm. My wife has 38 triple Ds, and they're only getting bigger because she's pregnant. So that might be something to look into.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mine were smaller before I had my baby, and they never really went back.
Ooh.
Like, she may just keep those breasts. Might be lucky.
That is fine with me because I'm noticing they were big to begin with and they were beautiful and I loved them. It was one of the things I love most about my wife. But as she gets more and more pregnant, I can see them filling up with milk and it's just like they're getting huge and I'm loving it.
Right.
So.
God.
Yeah, that could stay. That could stick around for you for a while. And then sometimes after you have a baby, though, the baby just takes everything from you and everything's smaller when you're done breastfeeding.
Yeah, yeah, that is the risk.
Brian's just happier hers are now bigger than his.
Yeah, you got to enjoy. Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yeah. He's an asshole.
Okay, so tell me why you guys call the show the Radio Freak.
Because we are freaks about good radio. So we are big fans. This show was born from being a fan of shows like Imus in the Morning and the Opie and Anthony Show and Howard Stern and people like that. And we are freaks about great radio. And we try and model our show after those types of shows.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Try is the key.
It's not because you're freaks.
We are a little bit of that. Well, there's a little bit of that too. We were talking with Mark Normand, was our comedian guest earlier.
Well, it's Valentine's, so can I ask you guys a couple questions?
Absolutely, sure. Shoot away.
Okay, so let's see. Favorite position? Go.
For me, I am gonna say it's a toss-up of one of two things, either missionary. Which sounds really boring, but it's because I will bend her legs back a little further and get really nice and deep in there. Or her on top, usually because she gets really, really wet, and I like when it drips down my balls.
Jesus.
Oh, okay. Woman on top. Yep, I like that. All right. What about you?
All right, yeah. I like when I'm in the other room. On the- She's in another room, and I'm watching TV, relaxing by myself. That's my favorite.
Oh my god!
You're such an asshole.
I know Nikki Morgan has got to be cringing right now. Nikki, if you're out there, do you hear this craziness? That was funny. Okay. Let me see. Okay, so it's Valentine's. I have one more. Let's see. Where is the most interesting place you've ever done it? Location.
I have a real story on this one.
Good.
And this is honest. It's not a joke. Railroad tracks next to a junkyard surrounded by a bunch of weeds and a piece of plywood.
Huh.
So we're